the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening and welcome to the Prime Evening News for today. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferrol. Here are the headlines. Dawood Ibrahim, India's most wanted man with a $25 million price on his head, has a Dominica CBI passport, carving another scar on the reputation of Dominica's passports. India gifted St. Lucia on Thursday with medical supplies and protective gear to assist in tackling the COVID-19 pandemic, said the Development Partnership Administration, DPA, of External Affairs in the Ministry of India. And Hurricane Laura battered the U.S. state of Louisiana last night, causing flash floods, severe damage to buildings, and power cuts to more than 500,000 homes. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments Weiss Limited. I am Richie Ferrol. First up in the news, the Committee of Concerned Lawyers, CCL, have categorically condemned the illegal arrest of Roseau North MP Daniel Lugay on August 15, 2020 on the Mon Daniel public road. According to distinguished attorney and executive member of the Committee of Concerned Lawyers, Cara Shillingford, the committee takes this abuse of power seriously. Speaking at the launching of the institution on Wednesday, Shillingford provided legal grounds to support the general public's interest in protesting outside the state-owned residence now occupied by Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit and his immediate family.
We heard of the MP for Roseau North, Mr. Danny Lugay, being forced out of his vehicle and arrested, not for committing any crime, but simply because he was sitting in a vehicle parked on a public road in the vicinity of the Prime Minister's residence, rented residence. We, the Committee of Concerned Lawyers, would like to join in condemning this recent unlawful and arbitrary use of force by the police. The roads in Mon Daniel are public roads, which are accessible to all members of the public. Internationally, citizens are able to visit and view the houses in which their political leaders reside. There is the White House in America, which is the official home of the American president, paid for by the United States government. Protesters regularly march in front of the White House. There is 10 Downing Street in England, which is the official home of the English Prime Minister, paid for by the United Kingdom government. Similarly, members of the English public or members of the public can freely remain on the public street outside of the Prime Minister's residence without being attacked or arrested. Why then should Dominican civilians be pushed, battered, harassed, and arrested by the police for simply being in the vicinity of our Prime Minister's official residence? An official residence which is paid for with our hard-earned tax dollars. This kind of behavior is unacceptable in a democratic society.
Distinguished attorney at law and executive member of the Committee of Concerned Lawyers, Cara Shillingford. Journalist Rebecca Theodore questions the legitimacy of the CBI program in Dominica, recalling her personal encounter with individuals and ambassadors who hold CBI-acquired Dominican passports. She believes the country must have urgent dialogue on security, shared values, and prosperity. According to Theodore, Dominica is unable to defend its economic self-interest. Therefore, she says there is a need for geopolitical remedies, adding that the changing of the economic and political powers vastly disturbs a country's foreign policy.
Internationalism demands that all nations, they must take a more selective approach to foreign policy based on the core self-interest of that nation. That's the reason why we have positioning of Caribbean states, positioning of European states, positioning of Asian states on the international order within the UN system. And when we look at the way that G7 nations are changing within the internal bureaucracy of the United Nations, what steps do we have? I'm concerned about the solutions. Where are we going from here?
Because She insisted foreign policy is not limited to economics and politics.
Foreign policy is also social. It's not only political. It's when we open the curtains of foreign policy, it's even, until recently, it even extends to fashion, the culture, the milieu of that nation, how designers could get their craft because of the country that they represent. Now, where are we going in the in Dominica? How do we get past that? This is what I am very, very much concerned. And this is what I've always been speaking about, because unless we bring those things to the fore, political, social, economic, how it disturbs our foreign policy, who do we have as our representatives at the United Nations to help us to cross that barrier? Because if not, we'll be left as people without a nation.
Dominican journalist Rebecca Theodore. This is Q95 News. Dawood Ibrahim, India's most wanted $25 million man, has a Dominica CBI passport, another scar on the reputation of Dominica's CBI passport program. The most wanted fugitive in India, with a $25 million price on his head, designated terrorist and terrorist financier, mobster and drug trafficker, has a Dominica citizenship by investment passport. Criminal investigative crime consultant Kenneth Rejok exposed yet another crime lord holding Dominican diplomatic passports, saying that at this point, there is no due diligence, just money talking. Speaking on Q95's Talk on the Block program earlier today, Rejok said, open quote, "I can't think of a worse person to hold a Dominican passport," end of quote.
Well, I can't think of a worse person to hold a Dominica CBI passport. It's a career criminal, the most wanted person in his native India, with a $25 million bounty on his head, involved in murder, narcotics trafficking, just about every crime under the sun, and who has been doing this since a very young age. How on earth could somebody like this have ever passed what actually is supposed to be due diligence? It's obviously an issue where if money talks, everything else walks. So if this person with this long, long list of prior offenses and career criminal status, if he gets a Dominica passport, that means that all of the stories about how good the due diligence is that Mr. Astafan has been managing to tell the world, he's trying to fool us. There is no due diligence. The due diligence is money talks. That's the only thing that's going to be understood down there in Government House.
Criminal investigative consultant Kenneth Rejok. With regard to the current state of Dominica's electoral system, voter ID card and electoral reform, etc., UK-based Dominican barrister Darren Sylvester says there is need to bring these things up to date and to have things regularized. Darren says that elections must be free and fair in any democratic country, especially in a small developing country like Dominica.
There's no need for elections to be or for people free flights to come down if that is the case, or incentives to vote a particular way. Voting should be free and fair, and I don't know enough. I'm not on the ground in Dominica to say how it is. I'm only going by what I read, but there's always seems to be a case about the unfairness of elections, and that needs to really stop. That costs time and money.
UK-based Dominican barrister Darren Sylvester. You're listening to Q95 News. Wellness has emerged as a key focus for visitors in readjusting the new normal as they resume travel to the Caribbean region. As part of a National Wellness Month campaign throughout the month of August, travel agents selling the Caribbean hosted a webinar to explore the vast potential of wellness tourism. TASC, that is the Travel Agents Selling the Caribbean, assembled a group of Caribbean wellness enthusiasts as part of the group's mission of strengthening the region's position in the global tourism market. The discussion themed Health is the New Wealth centered on how the Caribbean wellness product can be repackaged as a holistic experience which addresses safety protocols while meeting customer expectations. Noting the relatively low rate of COVID-19 infection throughout the region, there was general consensus that leaders throughout the region had taken the right steps in safeguarding lives and livelihoods. Wellness tourism throughout the region remains in high demand and has the potential to transform many aspects of the Caribbean tourism product. Although the pandemic has shaken up every aspect of the tourism industry, there are many instances where it has inspired the adoption of healthy behaviors and growth opportunities to maintain greater human connections and interactions while meeting physical distancing requirements. Panelists highlighted a myriad of wellness offerings which focus on nutrition, movement, relaxation, and rejuvenation. Although these wellness experiences have been modified to meet health and safety standards, visitors return with a renewed source of energy and vitality. According to Stephanie Rest, a community organizer on behalf of Caribbean Wellness, open quote, "If God created a perfect place and said this is wellness, that place would be the Caribbean region." Many visitors want to create their own sanctuary to unwind and take some time out, end of quote. They travel to heal as a means of relieving stress while tapping into the range of unique selling points that the region has to offer. She says, open quote, "There is no need to reinvent the wheel. We need product development because we have all the basic ingredients here in the Caribbean region," end of quote.
So I don't think there's really a need to reinvent the wheel. I think the offerings are there and they exist. It's just us, as Carmen spoke about, coming together as a united unit, which I don't think we've been able to do in the Caribbean successfully as of yet, to really tell that story. Because what's amazing to me and always a learning path is that each destination, island, group is so unique and different in their own way. So if we could collaboratively put that together and tell that story and share that offering, I think people all over the world would never lose interest because there's such a unique offering of wellness opportunities, people, music, arts, anything you are looking for in the region.
Community organizer on behalf of Caribbean Wellness, Stephanie Rest. Belfast Estate Maho Soccer Strikers FC secured victory in the Dominica Football Association Division 1 League matchup on Wednesday. In a Group 2 fixture at the Almond Park in Dublar, Soccer Strikers FC dominated Botswana FC by 3-0. Francis Luke was in devastating form as he converted in the 28th and 43rd minutes of play to give his club a comfortable 2-0 advantage at the interval. Within 12 minutes of the resumption of play, Francis Luke made it 3-0, sealing the victory for the Belfast Estate Maho Soccer Strikers FC. This evening, Central Cooperative Credit Union Limited Dublar FC will head to the Benjamin Park in Portsmouth to take on LA Enterprise Bombers FC in a Group 2 fixture, with kickoff scheduled for 6 p.m. Meanwhile, in the Premier Division League matchup set for Friday evening at the Benjamin Park in Portsmouth, defending champions Sagico South East FC are expected to battle We United FC from 6 p.m. The defending champions are on 27 points, 7 points more than We United FC in the Premier Division League's listing. This is Q95 News. Speaking to local media recently, veteran athlete and chairman of the Dominica Amateur Swimming Association, DASA, John Robin, says he is pleased with the announcement made by Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett in Parliament during his 2020-2021 national budget presentation for construction of an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Robin says if this project is executed as promised by the Skerrett administration, it will help place the island in a leading position to train and produce athletes worthy to represent Dominica at Olympic swim meets.
This means a lot. What it really means is that now Dominica will be the only island in the OECS to have an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And one of the few members in CARICOM to have an Olympic-sized swimming pool. I remember, you know, swimming was the first sporting activity to have represented Dominica at the Olympic in the history of sporting activities in Dominica. So I think it is fitting that the government has recognized the need for that facility. And it is going to transform Dominica tourism landscape. It provides us now with a significant boost to our tourism package. You can have students from Europe, from across Asia, from across North America, from across the Caribbean, teams of swimmers come in here and being trained at our facilities, staying in our hotels, consuming our food. This is very significant for us.
Veteran athlete and chairman of the Dominica Amateur Swimming Association, DASA, John Robin. In more news, India gifted medical supplies and protective gear to the government of St. Lucia as a tool to assist in tackling the COVID-19 pandemic. This was made public by the Development Partnership Administration, DPA, of External Affairs Ministry of India on Thursday. On Twitter, the DPA tweeted, open quote, continuing its global support in fighting the pandemic, India gifted medical supplies and protective gear to at St. Lucia Gov, that is the government of St. Lucia, to assist in its fight against COVID-19, end of quote. Open quote, this is symbolic of the strong bilateral relations between the two countries, the tweet further read. St. Lucia has a total of 26 COVID-19 cases, as per the latest update provided by Johns Hopkins University. And Hurricane Laura has struck the U.S. state of Louisiana, causing flash floods, severe damage to buildings, and power cuts to more than 500,000 homes. It is one of the strongest to ever hit the U.S. Gulf Coast, striking at Category 4 with winds up to 150 miles per hour. Laura's storm surge has not reached the levels feared, but is still considered life-threatening and could spread 40 miles inland. 500,000 residents have been told to leave parts of Texas and Louisiana. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards said earlier today, open quote, we've had daylight now for a couple of hours. It appears there is more structural damage from the wind and a little less flood damage than we anticipated, end of quote. He confirmed the faced fatality in his state, adding, open quote, I suspect that won't be the last, although I pray that we do not have more, end of quote. A spokesman for the State Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness later told CNN of another two deaths. Governor Edwards also warned of a chemical fire at an industrial plant in the Lake Charles area, urging people to shelter in place and close doors and windows. And that's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Dawood Ibrahim, India's most wanted man with a $25 million price on his head, has a Dominica CBI passport, carving another scar on the reputation of Dominica's CBI program. India gifted St. Lucia on Thursday medical supplies and protective gear to assist in tackling the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to the Development Partnership Administration, DPA, of External Affairs in the Ministry of India. And Hurricane Laura battered the U.S. state of Louisiana last night, causing flash floods, severe damage to buildings, and power cuts to more than 500,000 homes. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited. I am Richie Farrell.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens,